Dear brothers and sisters in the Lord, all saints from branch churches and the local sanctuaries, GCM viewers, and all children of God who attended the worships online, this is the 71st lecture on Genesis. Let's review briefly. In Genesis chapter 3:1, the serpent dropped the words of the temptation to Eve. It said, "Indeed, has God said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden?" It was a short question, but I explain it in great detail all the snares that were hidden in the words. Satan knew Eve's hurts very well. It knew how to tempt her and how to ask her questions to elicit her answers. Since Eve didn't realize the scheme of Satan, she became ensnared by it. As a result, when she replied, she arbitrarily changed the word of God. As with the last week's message, this week's message also reveals how devil deceives people. When reading the Bible, you should not only understand it as a story, but also carefully observe how Satan deceives people's hearts through each and every word. I can explain this because God the Father has revealed these words to me. At the time, how the cunning serpent deceived Eve and how Eve was deceived is written in every word of God's words. In detail, the course and the steps how Eve was deceived is revealed in the Bible. Even today, when Satan deceives you, it does so in the same way. Some people are tempted by the material things, others are tempted by the commit adultery, sin, steal. Satan makes you judge, condemn, and angry in various ways. It knows your hearts and the thought and tempts you according to those thoughts. You sin because you are deceived. Not to be deceived, quickly circumcise your heart and cast off evil, filling your heart with the truth. Only then will you not be deceived. When your heart is filled with the Spirit, Satan cannot deceive you because the Holy Spirit rules your heart. Because the Holy Spirit is master of your heart. Satan deceives through the thought, but because your mind has been cultivated by the Spirit, there's no untrue thoughts, and therefore Satan cannot work. That's why you are not deceived. Many churches today distort the Word of God. For example, in both the Old and the New Testaments, they tell us to cry out in prayer. Cry out in prayer. So prophets in the Bible all cried out in prayer. Our Lord also cried out in prayer. He prayed honestly, sweating so much that his sweat became like a drops of blood. If the Lord had prayed quietly and meditated, would he sweat have turned into the drops of blood? Besides, it's a bit cold in Israel and night in April. If he prayed so hard that his sweat turned into the drop of blood in such a weather, how much effort must he have put into crying out in prayer? There are records in both the Old and the Testaments of all the Lord's disciplines and God's people crying out in the praying like this. Even though there are countless examples of God's word, however, in churches today, those who cry out in prayer are considered new believers, while those who truly believe are focused to remain silent and meditate in prayer. This is how they misrepresent God's word. If the Bible says to speak in tongues, then you should speak in tongues. Is speaking in tongues wrong? Is it wrong to pray by shouting? They teach that God is not deaf and that He hears even silent prayers. Their saints do not feel the need to call out and pray. Then their saints will quietly pray, meditate, and eventually be deceived. And the word of God is distorted. Didn't Eve fall into this trap because she distorted God's word? If the Bible tells us to cry out in prayer, then we must cry out in prayer and God will answer. And there must be a reason for that. If a church and its members turn away from these words of the Bible and pray silently using their own thoughts, they will ultimately violate the word of God and be deceived. So they can't even cry out in prayer. So how can they receive the inspiration and the fullness of the Holy Spirit? Only by fullness of the Holy Spirit can they cast off their sins, their evil, and overcome the world. But they can't. So Eve answered by arbitrarily changing God's word. She said, "From the fruit of the tree of the garden we may eat, but from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God said, you shall not eat from it or touch it or you will die." God said, "You will surely die." But Eve changed it to, "You will die." And for her, it was a deceive mistake. We are often deceived in our religious lives, but their words are truly plausible. It sounds plausible. Now the serpent finally revealed its true colors. The serpent flatly refuted the word of God. That is Genesis chapter 3:4 says, "The serpent said to the woman, you surely will not die." You surely will not die. She was eventually caught in trap when "you will surely die," change it to "you will never die." This is exactly how Satan works. If I had more time, I would list all the ways Satan deceived you and how you get caught in its trap. But that would take too much time. Satan approached it with a plausible words and only then revealed its colors when she showed them clear. Can I tell you something simple? Even though I told you not to do money things with each other in the church. If someone suggests, "Oh, I'm running a business like this. It's very promising and can make a lot of money, but I need some capital." If you invest a certain amount, I will pay this much interest. And if the interest rate is 3-4%, which is the 10 times higher than the banks, you get interested in. If they offer you a higher interest rate, say 25%, you will be tempted. God's word tells us not to do money things with the brothers in the faith, but you ignore it all. If you are deceived, suffer, and are deceived by guaranteeing your home or your parents or in-laws of property, this is a terrible result. God has clearly told me since the pioneering days that a man and woman should not ride in a car. At the time, I didn't understand why men and women were told not to ride in a car together. Back then, there were social campaigns. People were encouraged to give a ride to anyone who raised their hand to go to work. Even private vehicles were encouraged to let people get in if they were going the same route. But God said, don't ride the men and the women together. It doesn't mean that the husband and the wife shouldn't ride together, right? It doesn't mean that. This does not mean that married couples should not ride together, but I've never ridden a car along with the director of a prayer center, my wife, in order to strictly follow the word of God. And I was loved a lot by Father God for that. Well, the devil approaches with opposable words and only then reveals its true colors when the opponent shows an opening. Now, as soon as Eve changed the word of God, Satan denied the word of God and tried to drag Eve deeper into the fifth fall. Moreover, the word you used to hear is not singular, but it's a plural. It included not only Eve, but also Adam. From the beginning, Satan's target was Adam. It was Adam, not Eve. It didn't think the scheme would work to Adam, so it tried to seduce him now through Eve. That was why Satan continued to use the plural form of a you as a Satan tempted Eve. Without his knowledge, Adam was entangled in the scheme of Satan. Here is one thing you should realize. That is, even if you fall into temptation of Satan by mistake, once you realize you went wrong and that you made a wrong decision, you should turn back right away. When you cannot discern a situation by the truth, you may be deceived once or twice by Satan. However, Satan will surely reveal its true character. Just as the serpent flatly denied the word of God in tonight's scripture, the clear outcome of the untruth will be shown. If you are awake in the spirit even a little bit, you can realize the scheme of Satan at this moment. Then you should straightly cut off the work of Satan and refuse it in decisive manner. You should never hesitate or keep dawdling to drag such a people who keep waffling into the deeper pitfall. Satan uses fair words at the most most chance moment. That's exactly what the serpent did to Eve. Just as the serpent flatly denied the word of God in tonight's scripture, the clear outcome of the truth will be shown. Saying, you will be like a God and you will open your spiritual eyes and knowing evil and devil. It means you will not die even if you eat from it. God said it because He knows that in the day you eat from it, you will be like God. If you eat from it, your eye will be opened and you will know good and evil. It means if you eat the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you can become like God. Just as a tree of the knowledge of good and evil put Adam and Eve on equal footing with God, so it encouraged Eve to eat it with confidence and that she would never die. Eve was deceived by this. How could Eve, a mere creator, be deceived by words saying that she could become like God the Creator? Eve didn't even have any evil or untruth in her heart at the moment. Let me explain the situation again to help you understand how Eve could be deceived by the Satan's temptation. At the time, Adam was the ruler of the second heaven and the first heaven. He had such an enormous authority and the power that we cannot even imagine it. Every creature followed him and obeyed his words. Because Eve was receiving this kind of a love from Adam, she was able to enjoy the power no less than Adam. Without questions, the position of Adam and Eve was higher than that of anyone or anything. For a long time, Adam and Eve enjoyed everything they could desire in this supreme position as creatures. However, after many long ages passed, Adam and Eve felt that they were somewhat stagnating. They felt like they wanted to be satisfied with something new when recognizing nowhere else to go. Satan focused on this through the serpent. Satan lured Eve, saying that she could become like God. In fact, this was a challenge to God's absolute authority. It was like a treason or a rebellion against the rule of the monarch. The crime of a betray and the rebellion was punishable by extreme penalty. Those criminals were not only put to death, but also their family and the relative suffered as well. Challenges to the king were strictly punished, and how much severe is the reserve of the challenge towards God the Creator? There have been several tyrants in our country's history besides a king, Yeonsangun. King Taejong, the third king of the Joseon dynasty, was a true tyrant. No one dared to dissent from a single word of the he spoke. Anyone who expressed even the slightly different opinion was dismissed or sent a tougher place. At the time, even the famous Prime Minister Hwang He was at the loss in front of the king. He raised a prince rebellion, opposes his father, and engaged in the fierce war with his father, the second king, Lee Sang-ge, who fled to Hamgyeongdo. And raised his army to oppose his son. But his son, the Taejong, he suppressed all the rebels and killed his own brothers who were princes and became king with the help of his brother-in-law. And also, his wife, becoming a queen later, also dedicated to make her husband the king. What happened next? However, he also killed his brothers-in-law. First, he exiled them, then sent them further afield to Jeju Island, and finally, he poisoned them to death. The brothers-in-law died without knowing what they had done wrong. They thought the queen, their sister, would spare their lives, but even she was powerless. They just felt desperated, but just were killed by the king. The queen, their sister, also spoke against the king, and when her brothers were killed, she lost consciousness. She was the mother of a King Sejong. She fainted and later became emotionally estranged from the king. I think it's truly evil. He was so weak. He expelled most of them who helped and supported him to become a king. The tyrant Yeonsan-gun killed officials who killed his mother and their families, but this King Taejong killed those who helped him with their lives without any fault. What's the problem with this king? He predicts the future, judges, and condemns. He thought that after his death, his brothers-in-law would seize power and his younger son would lose real power. He just imagined that way. So what should he do to prevent this? He thought that he should get rid of his brothers-in-law in advance. He judged that his brother-in-law and his wife would hold the real power and control his young son when he became king. He also tried to dethrone the queen who opposed the killing of her brothers-in-law, but her subjects opposed it, so he only deprived her of some of her powers. And ridiculously, he got married again, taking two women at the same time, and even had a wedding. On that day, he poisoned and killed his brothers-in-law. So the crown prince was so absurd that he couldn't understand his father. How could he do this? His father drove out and killed all his uncles and all his officials. He saw his father fight with his grandfather like that, and he felt so skeptical. In order to avoid becoming king, he drank alcohol and invited the female entertainers to the palace. His father, the Taejong, also planted the secret spy to receive the report about the crown prince. In this way, he ultimately did not become king. He passed the throne to his younger brother, and the first king Sejong emerged. When I see things like this, I think King Taejong is worse than Yeonsan-gun. His brothers-in-law protected him with their lives, fought against the threat many times, won, and even helped him ascend to the throne. They also helped their sister become a queen, so how could he banish and poison them to death? He repaid the favor with nothing but enmity. They may forget their positions, duties, and order and become trapped in arrogance. Let's say you've a long heart for a spirit and someone tells you something like this. You seem to have a strong light of the spirit. Many angels are around you. God said He would use you greatly. What is said may actually be true. The problem is that the hearer may become arrogant because of the word spoken. But if it's true, then it's not true. There aren't that many angels for individuals. In this earth, they are assigned each person individually. But the statement, there are many angels around you, God is using you greatly, I see a strong spiritual light in you, is more likely false. Those people overstated themselves, thinking they are being recognized by God, have become cultivated in spirit to a great extent, and have already attained the level of a spirit. From this moment, they began to change. They try to teach others and flaunt themselves before others. Satan knew in advance that they have a desire of boasting and arrogance and agitated those desires. To long for and seek spirits is a fundamental duty of the disbeliever who have a heavenly citizenship. It's not allowed that their longing heart for a spirit goes too far and change into greed and arrogance. What was the beginning of the destruction of the dinosaur? It was their jealousy of the cherubim. Their jealousy gradually grew into envy. They were not content with their position but desired more, and thus their actions were out of bounds. The spirit cannot be filled with only longing hurt and jealousy. When you empty, deny, and humble yourself and exalt others, your spirits can be filled. It's filled not by being served, but by serving. I wish for you to properly understand this truth and the longing for spirits in truth. There's another lesson that you can learn from tonight's scripture. That is, the temptation or test of Satan comes to you when you think all is well. Adam and Eve had lived a restful and a comfortable life for a long period of time. Their heart has been loosened quite a bit, and then they were deceived by Satan. The rest they enjoyed was not spiritual rest, but physical one. Physical rest may make you spiritually lazy and lax. Let me give you an example. You used to be very busy praying, evangelizing, reading the word, and taking care of the souls every day. You used to pray with a fasting to become the sanctified and the wrestle and the struggle against sin. With a passage of the time, you may think a sanctification is accomplished to some degree. Your eagerness in prayer has decreased, and you think you know the word. In performing your God-given duties, you have knowledge and ability, then you seem to live comfortably and peacefully. This is the time temptations come easily. While you seek physical rest and have a spiritual complacency, Satan prepares temptations. If you meet with a temptation in this state, you easily fall into temptation because you are in spiritual slumber. And so, First Thessalonians chapter 5:3 says, while they are saying peace and safety, then destruction will come upon them suddenly like labor pains upon a woman with a child, and they will not escape. And then it says in the First Thessalonians chapter 5:6, so then let us not sleep as others do, but let us be alert and sober. This does not mean that you should not sleep at night, but that you should stay spiritually awake, cry out in prayer, circumcise your heart, and be faithful. As I said, you should be always alert and sober in your everyday life. You should know that the perfect peace can be found only in heaven, and until that day, you should march on without ceasing. You should not become like that rabbit that lost in race with a turtle while taking sweet rest in the middle of the race. Moreover, even though you are spiritually ahead of others, if you don't keep marching on but become lazy, you who are first will be last. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, you're learning how Eve was deceived by Satan when she didn't have any evil in her at all. You may have a question at this point. How could the flesh enter Adam and Eve, who were created as a living spirit? Adam and Eve were living spirits, but they were originally made from earth. They may be changed in nature if other factors enter them. For a long period of time, no flesh could enter Adam and Eve because they have been filled with the breath of a spirit breathed by God Himself. In addition, the Garden of Eden was separate from the space of darkness. No matter how hard Satan tried to plant fleshly attributes in people's hearts, it couldn't do it. But there has been a single conditional exception to this. If a being in a Garden of Eden was to receive the work of Satan, then fleshly natures could enter it. Even though the dinosaurs were created from the soil of the Garden of Eden, not from the earth, it was transformed into flesh by Satan's instigation. The people in the Garden of Eden, including Adam and Eve, were given not only good environment, but also free will by God the Father. With a free will, they themselves could choose whether to receive to flesh or not. Even though they were living spirits, if they were to receive the flesh with their free will, flesh would then be planted into them. Among them, Eve herself first opened her heart and received the flesh through the temptation of Satan. After that, Adam, like Eve, did the same things. Some of you might think Adam had a free will but no evil in him at all. How could Adam, who had no evil, have been deceived by Satan? Brothers and sisters, there is a clear difference between those who had a sinful nature but have thrown away all sin by circumcising their hearts and Adam, who had no evil from the beginning. The state of the being originally sinless and the state of the abandoning sin are completely different. In both the cases, they have no flesh. When they are given temptation of a sin, they react differently. Let me give you an example to help you understand it. Suppose there are two obedient brothers. One is 10 years old and the other 3 years old. One day, their mother put a pot of boiling water on the ground while doing chores and advised them to not to touch it. She told them it was too hot that they could be hurt if they mistakenly touched it. The elder brother keeps her word in his mind because he experienced being burned. He remembers the painful sensation he experienced when he was burned. So he willingly, with a free will, stays away from the boiling pot. The elder brother keeps her word and obeys her with his free will. The younger brother has no experience with the burns at all. His obedience is at a level where he doesn't go near the boiling pot because his mother told him not to do it. This is not a kind of a true obedience from his free will. If he meets with the same situation a few times, he may not obey her warning. When the pot is steaming, it may look interesting to him. Then when curiosity is triggered in his mind, he feels inclined to touch it. The little boy wondered how hot it is. Why won't mommy let me touch it? He may stretch out his hand and catch the steam and put his hand into the boiling water. It doesn't mean he intentionally put his hand into the hot water in disobedience to his mother. He knew he must not to touch it, but could not feel in his heart to reason why. His curiosity finally overpowered his will, telling him not to touch it. As a result, he put his hand into boiling pot. This curiosity, which makes the middle and the high school students want to try it, ultimately leads to sin. It leads to sin that leads to death. The same applies to Adam and Eve. they had no evil in their hearts at all, but they had never experienced relatively. They could freely choose whether they would accept Satan's proposal or they could refuse it. If they were in the same state as the elder brothers from the example, they could flatly drive away Satan's temptation, but Adam and Eve were in the same state as a younger brother. When they ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they didn't have any evil intention of disobeying God's word. When they were tempted by Satan, they chose the way and received it. As planned before, Adam and Eve had lived as the highest ruler of the first heaven and the Garden of Eden for a long time. They felt they were becoming stagnated. Satan deceived Eve with crafty words through the serpent that was on intimate terms with her. Like bait, Satan dangled the clinching the temptation of becoming like a god and caught Eve. When she received such a word with her free will, a sinful nature of greed entered her mind, and it became a flash in her. The sinful nature of greed conceived in her mind later came forth as the fruit of the disobedience to God's word. Regarding this, James chapter 1:15 says that when lust has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. Genesis chapter 3:6 shows that Eve bore the fruit of sin. Eve committed such a sin even though she had no evil at all at the time. How can those who have not cast away evil from the heart drive away Satan's temptation? Do you still have a desire to seek wealth, power, and fame? You may have the desire to recognize and love by people. Then Satan casts such desires like a bait to entice those fleshly desire. When those baits look exceedingly good, you come to forget the word of God completely, then you may bear the fruit of the disobedience or commit a lawlessness. It's because greed is conceived and give birth to sin. People commit sins because they desire to have more of something than is necessary. It was because greed grew in her mind that Eve accepted the serpent's words and ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Her heart was aroused by the Satan tempting words, "In the day you eat from it, you will be like God." In her heart sprouted a desire to become like a God, the Creator, which was greater than is necessary as a creature. This deed of Eve began with her curiosity. Her curiosity finally reached what God is strictly prohibited, and it means it crossed the line. In Eve's case, greed was conceived in her and gave birth to sin, but it didn't end there. Her sin grew and reached the greater sin that led her and Adam to death. I urge you to put this lesson well into your heart. If you once commit a sin because of a weak faith, you must stop it at the point. You have to repent immediately and stay far away from the way of a sin. Otherwise, one sin gives birth to another sin. And if your sin grows, it finally leads you to death. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of a sinner, nor sit in the seat of the scoffers. He meditates in the law of God day and night, and he walks in the light. I hope that you can help yourself choose the blessed way in your free will that is given by God. May the favor of God be always overflowing in your life. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray.
Hallelujah! Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all brothers and sisters receiving this prayer here in attendance. Lay your hands on all the members of the branch churches and local sanctuaries, and all the GCN TV viewers and those who are watching via satellites, cables and the internet all over the world, transcending space and time. Plant faith in their hearts and drive out their negative thoughts and doubts. Let all the trials and afflictions leave them. By the fire of the Holy Spirit, from head to toe, scorch their sick and affected parts, including all cells, tissues and nerves, all internal organs and intestines. Let the light of creation come upon them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all diseases, germs and viruses, and infirmities, go away. Let the light shine on them. Scorch their incurable and long-term diseases by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Burn all kinds of endemic and contagious diseases like malaria. Be cleansed and made well. All epidemic diseases, such as colds and fever, go away from them. Protect them from any kinds of germs and viruses and bacteria. Heal them of all kinds of cancers, like stomach cancer, lung cancer, liver cancer, breast cancer, womb cancer, intestinal cancer, and all other diseases like AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, heart disease, lung disease, diabetes, women's diseases, thyroid diseases, and all inflammations. Let them be made whole from polio, stroke, arthritis, herniated discs, and many others. Let all kinds of pains disappear from them, like back pain, headache, and neuralgia. Set them free from epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and all other mental diseases. Loosen them from all kinds of paralysis, and let them get up, walk, and jump. Let them regain good eyesight and restore good hearing. Let the blind open their eyes, and the deaf come to hear, and mute begin to speak. Heal them of after effects of all kinds of accidents. Restore their ruptured and broken bones. Restore them from burns, and let the heat and burning sensation go away from them. Father, let there be no scars left. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions and poisoning. Father, regenerate dead nerves, tissues and cells, and bring the dead back to life. Father, please bless them to conceive a baby. Bless them to conceive a baby. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, the ruler of the air, the evil forces and their servants, go away from them. Go away, you evil spirits, unclean spirits, deceiving spirits, spirits of falsehood, separating spirits and all forces of darkness. Loosen all bonds of wickedness and darkness and go away from them. Let the light shine on them. Father God, give them strength to cry out in their prayer and empower them with the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. Let them be in good health as their soul becomes prosperous, and let their family be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters, and bless them to lead a successful and prosperous life in everything. Please protect your children, their home, their business, and their work by the fiery hedge of the Holy Spirit, with the heavenly host and angels, and with your blazing eyes. Give students wisdom and understanding, and fill their hearts with more passion and desire for study. Keep their hearts and minds from worldly things, and plant into their hearts more fervent love for God. Bless your children, and let them give glory to you in everything they do, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Let them confess and testify to the living God, I've met God, I've experienced God, and received His answers and blessings. Father God, thank you. Let all glory be to you alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.